Live from the CBS Bay Area studios, this is KPIX 5 News.
Now on KPIX 5 and streaming on CBSN, Bay Area changes in our weather this weekend, when and where we could see rain and the chance for high fire danger. Good afternoon, I'm Lynn Keys. If you're heading outside this weekend, listen up. Meteorologist Mary Lee is looking toward the changes ahead. Mary.
Yeah, that's right, Lynn. Tracking that weekend storm system that could bring a few showers back to the Bay Area. This is an early season storm system, and some locations have a better chance of seeing that wet weather. Here's a live look with our Salesforce Tower camera as we look to the Golden Gate. And especially north of the Golden Gate, you have a better chance of seeing a few showers over the weekend. So there we go with that storm system already bringing that rain to the Pacific Northwest. As we look to our weekend, few showers late Saturday into Sunday. And again, the North Bay, you have a better chance of seeing that wet weather. We are looking at not a lot of rain. So anywhere from a few hundredths to possibly a tenth of an inch. We'll talk about that low pressure system as it drops to the Great Basin and our high fire danger early next week coming up, Len.
All right, Mary, thank you. And be sure to download the KPIX 5 News app where you can get updates on the weather where you live 24/7. In the East Bay, Contra Costa County's health officer is throwing his support behind a plan for all students in West Contra Costa County schools to be vaccinated. He made his voice heard in a letter made public today. KPIX 5's Justin Andrews reports the proposal is drawing some strong reaction.
West Contra Costa County schools will be discussing this on Tuesday. It could affect some of the 28,000 students in this district, but it's a big talker, even for people who don't have kids in the district.
Well, I think everybody should get the vaccine. You know, when I was younger, we had polio vaccines and we were required to get them at school.
That's what Cindy Swanson has to say about West Contra Costa County Unified Schools potentially making everybody, including students 12 and older, show proof of vaccination. District leaders will have a special meeting next week whether to approve it or not. In this letter made public Friday, Dr. Chris Furnitato said the neighborhoods surrounding the schools have been hit really hard by COVID. He writes, vaccination is the best method we have to prevent the transmission of COVID-19 to teachers, staff, students, and the families.
There were no consent forms, nothing, but it eradicated polio, and polio is a tragic disease, as is this.
The letter goes on to say children who are vaccinated are less likely to develop COVID after exposure, adding vaccination can prevent significant disruptions to a child's education. If the proposal is approved, students 12 and older who refuse to vaccinate would have to switch to remote learning. As for faculty and staff who decline, they would have to be put on unpaid leave unless the district has a position available in its remote learning program.
You're forced to wear your seatbelt. You're forced to stop at a stoplight. You know, it's all government regulations.
We reached out to West Contra Costa Unified Schools to get its reaction to the letter, but the superintendent is out of the office Friday. Oakland Unified School leaders will be talking about this as well. Their plans are to discuss this on Wednesday. We'll keep you posted on both of these districts. In Contra Costa County, Justin Andrews, KPIX 5.
Developing news, government regulators are meeting right now to review Pfizer's request for COVID booster shots in people 16 and older. But as Natalie Brand reports, some are questioning the real need for a third shot.
The FDA's advisory committee is debating whether to approve a third booster shot for the Pfizer vaccine.
Findings of effectiveness of the additional dose, while necessary, is not sufficient for an FDA approval. A determination that the additional dose is safe for the intended use is also required.
Dr. Marion Gruber, who announced her retirement this week, co-authored a paper questioning the need for boosters for the general population. Supporters point to Israel, which is already deploying the booster shots. Data from that country showed the shot increased protection against severe illness nearly 20-fold in people 60 and older.
If we had not started booster doses at the end of July, we would have come to the capacity of Israel hospitalization capabilities and probably have gone beyond it.
FDA reviewers warned against relying on studies from other countries because the agency hadn't independently verified the data or their conclusions.
While there is debate among scientists, the Biden administration has begun preparations to roll out booster shots as early as next week, pending approval.
The infrastructure that helped deliver more than 200 million first shots will be ready to go to deliver millions of booster shots as well.
Some question whether the booster shot is needed to combat the Delta variant spike. Studies show the rise in cases is most prevalent among those who remain unvaccinated.
Regardless of the vaccines evaluated, all vaccines have remained effective in preventing hospitalization and severe disease.
The latest CDC data shows roughly 63% of Americans 12 and older are fully vaccinated. Natalie Brandt, CBS News, The White House.
We will keep you updated throughout the day on the FDA meeting here on KPIX 5, also streaming on CBSN Bay Area. Meantime, the CDC Advisory Committee will meet next week to discuss booster shots.
I'm Ann Makovic at the Live News Desk, keeping an eye on the trial of Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes. We got new video of her walking into the federal courthouse in San Jose this morning. It is day four of the trial, giving us an inside look into allegations of fraud in Silicon Valley. Testimony of a former employee turned whistleblower wrapped up after she talked about malfunctioning machines and a workplace that instilled fear. Holmes is charged with 12 counts of wire fraud and conspiracy to commit wire fraud. She's accused of misleading investors and patients about her company's technology, which supposedly was able to run dozens of health tests on only a few drops of blood. Now, on the stand this afternoon, another former employee, this one was given immunity for her testimony, so we could see some real bombshells there. We'll be covering it. Back to you.
All right, Ann, thank you. The search is on for the driver who opened fire on a busy East Bay freeway. This happened around 3:30 yesterday afternoon near the Caldecott Tunnel running through the Berkeley Hills between Oakland and Orinda. The CHP says it all started with a BMW and an Infiniti racing across the Bay Bridge, and someone in the BMW shot into the Infiniti. No one was injured, but the right bore of the tunnel had to be shut down for almost 3 hours, and traffic was backed up for miles. Tight security at Capitol Hill ahead of a highly anticipated rally set to happen tomorrow. Temporary fencing is back up around the building, and the National Guard is now on standby. Far-right extremist groups like the Proud Boys are set to attend the rally. They're coming together to support the people accused of assaulting the Capitol on January 6th. Developing this afternoon, the search for Gabby Petito is intensifying. It comes after the 22-year-old was reported missing by her family late last week. Petito was documenting a cross-country road trip with fiancé Brian Laundrie, but now police say he's gone silent. Petito's parents say they believe Laundrie and his parents know something about their daughter's whereabouts, and they're begging for answers. The FBI has now joined the search. Petito was last seen in Wyoming's Grand Teton National Park. Police say Laundrie is a person of interest in her disappearance. A disturbing case out of New York now. A murder and what happened afterward are the subject of the next 48 hours. 17-year-old Bianca Devins was killed in 2019. Her killer posted images of her body online, and they went viral. Those images were also sent to her family. These events after her killing have behavioral scientists and intelligence officers very concerned. I talked to correspondent Jerika Duncan about the case.
We spoke to a behavioral scientist for our piece, Stephen Cremando, and he explained that most of this, he believes, came from incels. What are incels? It stands for involuntarily celibate. So he said these are people online, generally men, who've been vying for the attention of attractive women, and they don't get it.
You can watch 48 Hours tomorrow night at 10, right here on KPIX 5.